Hey, St. Louis, looking for a new spot to get lunch? Truman's in Soulard has amazing food and barbecue. Wednesdays, try our smoked pork steak and baked mac and cheese, a St. Louis tradition for only $7.95. And if you're like Doug Tuna Fish Vaughn,
I had two sandwiches over the last 2 months. That's all.
Truman's has the best family recipe tuna fish sandwich in town. Try us out for lunch. We're the home of the $7.95 lunch special. Say free Dotem to get 10% off your bill.
Best wishes to Mr. Dotem.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
By David Backus. Why, Doug?
We're going to miss Backus.
Boy, he's great.
And Brower.
Backus Moore.
And Ott. The three best interviews on the team.
What about Kid Ells? Miss him, too.
Yep. Had a lovely interview on this program on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it aired on the Best Of yesterday.
Yesterday's been.
When was the free agency thing? Was that Friday? Thursday into Friday?
First, whatever day the first was.
Which was Friesman.
Yeah. Boy, that was a dark day up in here. I don't remember the Blues ever just, maybe it's happened, I don't remember them ever just gutting a team after a big run in the playoffs. Those were their three best playoff performers this year. Maybe Petrangelo.
Four guys, three gone, and Petrangelo. I mean, Brower was great down the stretch. And in the postseason, I mean, he was that toughness that they talked about when they picked him up. And Backus, who had been criticized for his postseason performances, was really good. And Elliott, they don't get to where they were without Elliott. So, yeah, those three and Petrangelo.
Here is David Backus on leaving St. Louis to go play for the Boston Bruins.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
I'll be replaced here and I'll be going somewhere else to hopefully fill a need and try to win a cup with the Boston Bruins, but I love this town, I love this team, I love the organization, and I hope if Boston's not winning the cup, it's the St. Louis Blues, because the fans here are awesome, the people here are awesome, and 50 years of waiting, it's hopefully the next captain can bring a cup and have a parade down Market Street.
Where did he do that interview?
He did it at the Westin Hotel, where he was there for Alex Petrangelo's bachelor party, or I guess maybe the rehearsal party before the wedding.
They were also at the Cardinals game that night. Mm-hmm. I talked to him then. And he was still, you could see, visibly shook up. Like, he had to do what he had to do, but it was mixed feelings clearly for him.
If they offer you one more year and another $6 million, who wouldn't go?
Agreed.
Most of us take a job in another city if it's an extra $20,000. 30,000? Well, we're gone. This is another 6 million?
Usually that's the total for the contract in this business.
Yeah, we're making nothing here, and someone offers us 20,000. We go.
Yeah, I get that. But you could see he was hurting a little bit over.
Yeah, I just hate that move. I really hate it. If there's anybody I would have overpaid and dealt with a year or two at the end that may not be that productive, he would have been the guy. For the leadership and the fact that his game is not really a speed game anyway. He stands in front of the net and he fights with people.
What you need in the playoffs, you need that.
But I remember people saying the morning after the Blues lost to the Sharks, if you had to give up Brian Elliott, David Backus, Troy Brower, and Steve Ott to get David Perron back, everybody said they would do it.
I didn't hear anybody say that.
Here's a weird thing, and Army knows what he's doing. Most of his moves have paid off, and he put together a great run last year. So it's not like I'm like, they're terrible, they don't know what they're doing. But if you just look at it at the surface, they got rid of guys who they felt weren't in that mold that can help them do what they wanted to do in the playoffs. So they brought in a guy like Brower. They got rid of guys like Perron. Now Brower's gone. Backus, who did the tough things in the hard areas that we heard about during the playoffs, that's sort of his calling card.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. It just seems like the things that got him into the playoffs and into a nice run are now gone.
Right. And now they're saying, well, we're going to be really, really young. I don't care if they're really young. The Rams were young. I care if they're good. I don't care if they're the youngest team out there. Just being young doesn't win any games.
Well,
and I
can
understand.
Your spirit win, though.
I can understand how they say we just don't want to invest long term in guys who are going to be in their mid to late 30s. I can get that. So you let them go. I would have thought you would have used that money to maybe attract some other big talent coming this way. I mean, it looks like they're in a rebuild at this point.
Yeah, I think they're going to be good. My question is, I have no question that they're still good. My question is, did they miss some of those things now, or do they miss some of those things that helped them go on a run last year in the postseason?
Yeah. Usually when star players, I don't know that you could call Backus a star, maybe you could. Certainly Elliott was a star this year. Usually when the Blues have lost players like that, at least they get something coming back in the other direction. You know, when they had to trade a Bernie Federko, they got something coming back. When they traded Oshie, they got a player coming this way. This is a case where you lost three very good players at the top of your roster, and you really got nothing.
Yeah, I don't think it was a win.
I can't see how they're better. I can't imagine any way you look at it how they're a better team now than they were, unless they're just going to suck it up for this coming season and say, well, we're in a transition now, and we got to get these young guys playing better, and maybe in a year, 2 or 3 years,
for the Mike
maybe then we'll be a contender. Yeah.
Backus said he told Army, if you want to be smart about this, you give the C right now to Pietrangelo.
I would think he'd be the only legitimate candidate. Oh. And Steen is just as good a player, but Steen doesn't enjoy the interview as much as Pietrangelo.
Well, that's not necessarily why you get
well, that's
someone
a big,
to
being a spokesman for the team is a big part of it. And that's what, even in the worst of times, Backus would stand up there and talk until everybody had got what they wanted. And I think Pietrangelo might be a little bit more willing to do that, put up with that, than Steen.
Yeah, sad to see Backus go. Got a nice ovation at the Cardinals game. They put him on the Jumbotron, said thank you.
Yeah, I think everybody, sorry to see him go. He's right up there with Kurt Warner as far as just the guy. You just can't imagine how perfect he seems to be in every phase of his life and all the things he does off the ice. All the charitable things that he's involved in.
Animal shelter that he put together.
Guys, they have about $10 million in cap space, 5 to 6 to Schwartz, 2.5 to Sobotka. Where is the money for Backus or Brouwer coming from? Please advise. It's from Butch McGuire.
Wouldn't you rather have Backus or Brouwer than Sobotka? Sobotka's just a guy, isn't he?
No, he's a good player, but he's a different guy than what Backus or Brouwer brought you. And I feel bad. Sure, Backus has got some money, but now he's got to, you know, live in that cowtown.
Boston?
Cowtown of Boston?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big city.
Compared to St. Louis?
Okay, all right. Guys, Backus and Brouwer are not here because of the poor Bomeister and the Terra contracts.
Well, that might be getting to the gist of it right there.
I like when we get to the gist.
I think we just did.
I don't think we ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Doug Armstrong on why David Backus selected to go to Boston.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
At the end of the day, the term was a concern for myself. David's a great player, and he's been a great Blue, and we wish him nothing but the best. But when you project out long term, it was problematic for me personally to project out that far with players. You know, there's analytical data shows where players play at their peak, and we wanted to try and stay within a window. We were ready to stretch that window, but only to a certain level. So, but I said, you know, that's more of a personal thing than anything. So, ultimately, David took a really good offer from Boston, and we wish him nothing but the best, and he'll be sorely missed.
Doug Armstrong on why David Backus left. Now Doug is excited because David Perron is on his way back to St. Louis, and here's Doug Armstrong on why they decided to sign David Perron.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
He's coming back as a much more mature player on and off the ice, and we'll be the benefactors of that. And the other thing too, he's 28 years old, and you saw how well he played down after the trade in to Anaheim. I think he had 20 points in 28 games. So we view him as certainly a player that can play in the top nine. He's versatile. He can play left wing or right wing. And it gives the coach some options. And I know when I talked to him, you know, he was very excited about the opportunity to come back to St. Louis. He still certainly has a warm spot for the fans in the city.
Parisi.
Last year in 71 games, he had 12 goals, 24 assists. He's had some injury problems, including a major concussion issue. I would be somewhat worried about that. One more hit like that, and that could be it for him. But, you know, Armstrong hasn't made too many bad moves. He must know what he's doing. He must know. It's got to be really hard to be in that position, and in Armstrong's position, and know that your entire fan base wants David Backus back. Everybody wants him back. And that you just can't do it for the long-term health of the franchise,
in his opinion. I think David Backus was in some ways underappreciated in St. Louis, and I believe if they had signed a big name or brought a big name in, fans would have been, you know, most people don't want to see him go, but they would have been okay with it. But if you lose the guys they lost and you bring in Perron, I think people are going to raise an eyebrow.
Yeah. Elliott's almost even more baffling. The fact that you lost an all-star goalie and the best save percentage in the league and got a second-round draft pick for that? That's the most baffling to me.
Well, why don't you go down there and hold someone accountable?
Well, I don't know. I'm pressed for time. What, you want me to
knock
on the office door and start screaming at him?
Just say, journalist, I have an appointment for some accountability. Oh, come on in. How come you don't do those rants anymore on the forefront?
Well, maybe
I like
should.
Those.
Maybe I should. It just seems like we always hear you build your team from the goal out, and we'll only go as far as our goaltender takes us. And you got an all-star goalie right here who had the best save percentage in the league, and you just said, second-round pick, that'll do. I don't get it. I think if you're Calgary, you're jumping up and down over the fact that you got an all-star goalie and it cost you a second-round. Second-round picks, a lot of them don't ever make the league. Thank you.
Sup, brother Manchild, I see you. From Barnhart Brawler.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
They're texting to each
Sup, brother
Manchild,
I see you. What?
Listeners are communicating with
each
other.
What's that have to do with Brian Elliott?
Not everyone is hanging on every one of your words, Doug. They have lives. These texters have lives.
That sound like a very important conversation.
Sometimes the listeners don't have each other's phone numbers, so they use the text in line to communicate. What's wrong with that?
That's correct.
I don't know.
That's how it works.
It's going to take me a while to get over this. It's going to take me a little bit.
Did you go to that thing? Did you have an embrace with Backer?
No, I couldn't. He did it right at 6 o'clock, and I had an anchor, so we sent someone else.
Do a live hit, and then we're going to see if we can get David Backus to come on live with us. He's in the middle of a news conference, but I think he'll give us a... Hey, David, can we grab you real quick?
Well,
that's how you do it.
A little uncomfortable. There are other people.
Charlie did that with Waino.
Oh, hey, Waino.
Hey, Waino.
Doug, per Cosmopolitan, thigh brows are dead. This summer is going to be all about the wedgie.
Did you say thigh brows?
Yeah.
What is that?
Paw Pirate, what are thigh brows?
Not for sure, Tim.
I'm going to take a little gander and I'll let you know.
Okay.
A thigh brow.
I'm just reading the copy that's presented to me.
Okay.
And in van, 2 and 1. Thigh brows are dead. This summer is going to be all about the wedgie. If you've come anywhere near Instagram lately, you know that people can't stop posting pictures of their underwear and pant shoved up their asses. I know. I never thought that having my bottoms uncomfortably wedged between my butt cheeks could be sexualized. But it's 2016, and Instagram exists. So here we are.
See, this is what's wrong with the country now.
Who wrote this?
Was
that Chris Gardner? Is that off Chris Gardner's blog? I didn't care for the phraseology.
It's probably all true. It's probably all we'll see on social media for another year.
Get pumped. That's how the sentence ends. Get pumped. I don't know what that means.
You're supposed to get excited over this.
The trend really picked up steam when Kylie Jenner, of course.
Oh, wow.
I'm just reading the copy. So the "of course" was not my phrasing.
All right.
And in van, two, and one. The trend really picked up steam when Kylie Jenner, of course, posted a photo of herself wearing Levi's wedgie jeans to Instagram. It didn't take very long for people to become obsessed with how a wedgie could make your butt look extra peachy.
I don't need my butt to look extra peachy.
Does anyway, Doug.
We have a definition if you want it.
Yeah, because it's on thigh brows or...
Yeah, it's a noun. The crease between your thigh and your hip that appears when you sit or kneel down, originating from Instagram and used in sentences such as, "Hey, look at my thigh brow," and "Hey, my thigh brow is totally great today," unquote. Derived from eyebrow because of the way they create two curved arches over your thighs, most commonly sported by Kardashians and other people in the world of Instagram. Yep, so a couple quotes, and I think it's just a little fat in between your legs.
And that's been the big trend.
Because it's like,
oh, I missed that one.
It used to be thigh gap to where you could, if you see a gap between your thigh when you're standing straight up, you're hot. Now I think it's a playoff of that. Thigh brow, Doug.
Boy, I slept right through that trend.
I'm glad I'm not on Instagram.
Right, what is the fascination with Kylie Jenner?
I don't really know who that is. I know it's from the Jenner family, I assume.
I mean, she's beautiful.
How old woman is she?
That's the fascination.
How old is she?
20, 19, I don't know.
Bruce Jenner's daughter, right?
And the delightful former wife of Robert Kardashian, whatever her name is. And she seems to be as down to earth. Oh, I'm sorry.
She's rough.
Uh-huh.
If she lived here, she would love a Live magazine.
Would she?
Doug, wedgies are magic. You guys.
They're not that magical.
I've just read copy. And I should note, when it says wedgies are magic, in the word magic, the M is capitalized, the G is capitalized, and the C is capitalized. And I don't know why.
MGC. Oh, sure.
Regardless of how hard it is to imagine that wedgies are cool, one good thing comes from this. You no longer have to awkwardly try to unpick your wedgie when you're in a crowd of people. Instead, just own it and pose for Instagram.
I'm not going to own it. And this article you read said it was wedgie jeans, like it was a type of jean rather than taking the underwear and pulling them up as high as you
can. I think so. Here's a picture, Doug. There's a picture right there. It's on Instagram.
Well, you know, if you're a beautiful 21-year-old girl, just about everything you do is kind of hot when in the bathing suit like this girl is in the photo you just showed me, Tim. I don't know that makes it a trend for the whole country.
What about gentlemen? What do you prefer them wear?
I don't care what a gentleman wears.
If you're still not convinced that you're going to be showing off a wedgie this summer, Doug, here's Beyonce performing Halo during the Formation World Tour with a wedgie. Still not having it? Here's a photo of Instagram star Amanda Lee literally in the act of giving herself a wedgie.
Literally. See, this is what's wrong with our nation. We're just getting stupider by the moment.
I don't know what more proof you could need, but here it is anyway. And then there's Emily Ratajkowski with a wedgie.
Mm-hmm.
Doug here.
Okay. And that's a trend.
Apparently so, man.
It's like something that's never happened before.
Like the hula hoop.
Only now it's big.
I think right at the turn of the 18th century with the founding fathers, a lot of their wives...
Oh, they'd have all had heart attacks if they'd seen that. I mean, when you see really old pictures of women, they're almost none of them are attractive, are they? Almost none of them.
The idea of what beauty was back in the day is much different than today.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be, necessarily. But when you see old pictures, even going back to the 20s or 30s, it's hard to ever find anyone that you go, wow, there's an attractive girl.
Eleanor Roosevelt, I suppose.
Eleanor Roosevelt, not so much.
No, were you doing Mrs. Doubtfire as Eleanor Roosevelt, though?
No, that was Eleanor, how she talked. I'm Eleanor Roosevelt.
Cold to my ear was a looker.
Not so much. But you look at some of the men, and they look about like they do now, back then.
They all had mustaches.
Yeah, a lot of them look about like what they look like now, but the women just completely different.
I just look at the old photos and think they must have had an odor. Because they didn't
probably
be unfair.
I bet the shrubbery was as dense as the Australian bush.
I don't know. People didn't bathe as much, and personal hygiene wasn't where it is today for the most part.
Grace Coolidge was a hottie. Thanks. That's from Caller Ellen. Yeah, Cal Coolidge's wife.
I don't think I've seen a picture of her.
No.
Yeah. Grace bet you have. Coolidge. Silent Cal.
Speaking of Cal, we have Calvin Mace stumping Mike Matheny coming up here in a matter of moments. He also caught Brandon Morris off guard regarding a home run. But first, look, it's Ryan Kelly, Doug, and he makes the show possible. Yes, hello, yeah. Ryan.
Well, guys, how are we today?
What do you say? What do you say?
You know, it's kind of awkward after a long holiday weekend coming in the office on a Tuesday morning. We just finished up our Monday morning meeting on a Tuesday. 4-day work weeks are great, except you have to squeeze somehow 5 days into that 4 days here. So we're roughing at it. We're going hard. Everybody knows we did a great climb. We raised over $15,000 for Friends of Kids with Cancer, SSM Cardinal Glennon, and Alec Ingram's Fight with Cancer. We're wrapping up that climb this week. We'll do some big check presentations to all three of those organizations. I just want to thank everybody that donated. You know, everything from the $20 donations to the $2,000 donations, they're all appreciative. They go to a great cause, fighting childhood cancer. And I feel that being a business owner is, it's about giving back. It's not just about getting lower rates, better customer service and all that. That's a given at the Home Loan Expert team. But it's about giving back. And throughout the year, we do a lot of that. But once a year, we do the climb. It's a big deal. And ready to wrap it up and move on, and but continue to get the word out about childhood cancer. It never goes away. I'm going to leave it with that, guys, and kind of hang up and listen. I'm Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert. My website's thehomeloanexpert.com. My direct phone number here at the office, right in St. Louis, where I'm sitting, 314-781-9700. Company's the Home Loan Expert LLC. Boys, thanks so much, and we'll let you get going. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ryan. There he is, the title sponsor of this award-winning presentation, Ryan Kelly, online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Doug, friendly reminder, if you're going to pony up this week, Bud Light is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Mm-hmm. Settle in with a cold, frosty Bud Light. Ah.
That's my beer of choice.
That's mine as well.
It's been for many years.
When I'm out, people see me having a Bud Light. They go, oh, you're doing it because it's the official beer? I go, no, because I've been doing it forever.
Yeah. Let's get together and knock a few back. Well, I'll be busy.
Talk about our favorite show moments and then prep for tomorrow's show.
Let's say Tim and I just drop by the Four Fox. We'll bring a case of beer, get sloshed, and you go on the air, and Tim and I will.
Well, I won't be there today. It's a day off for me. So
let's go play some golf. I got to get my stick swinging before I head on down to Hilton Head. Shave strokes.
Huh. Well, I'm not sure I can play yet. Well, let me check the shoulder.
Ah!
I don't think I can play
yet. You know what
we
could do? We could get
I tried it again. No.
Get some beer and just drink it behind the corn stalks. No one would see us. Right?
It's true.
It's a good place.
It's looking more and more like corn.
Harvest season's fast approaching here on Hampton.
Mm-hmm. Really looked like monkey grass there for a while.
Sup, Sister J, bro. See you there on Thursday. Thanks, Barnard Brawler.
See you where? See you where on Thursday?
Who's Sister J, bro?
Who knows?
Doesn't this look like the Field of Dreams where the players came in to...
Yeah, Ray Liotta.
Doesn't it look...
It sure looks like corn now.
I think it's supposed to help with us not hearing the traffic on Hampton.
Is that what it is?
It's opposed to spending money on insulation. They just decided to grow corn.
It's about 5 feet high, and it's grown like that in about a...
You said it was monkey grass.
That's what I thought. But who plants corn in a place like this?
Tim, there was tripping at the wheelhouse this weekend. It was amazing. That's from Ray King. I can't imagine that there was actually like a trib sesh there.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I can see making out maybe the beginning of heavy petting, but tribbing? Ray King? Call Lynn? What's up, Doug? I see you. That comes from Frank Drebin's Raw Sewage Resort.
I like that name.
What does it mean, I see you?
It means they feels you, right? That's what it means. They feels you.
I don't know.
Are you going to this thing on Thursday?
What?
I don't know.
I don't know what's coming up on Thursday.
I guess there's a secret society meeting.
Probably so. I don't think I'm going to go, Tim. I think I'm going to miss this one. This is a secret fan page society they've got now.
I guess it's possible. It seems like something's doing Thursday. But the question is, what's doing?
What is it?
Barnard Brawler is back. Yo, brother Matty Bear, Thursday at 4:03 at our spot is the happy hour.
Hey, stop it!
Either pitch.
Now it sounds like they're meeting at a bar.
Does sound like it. See you there, Brawler Boo. Love J-Bro.
doesn't surprise me that they have time in the middle of the work day on a Thursday to go to a bar. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but where's their spot? That's the thing. Where's their spot?
Oh, boy. What do you think it is, Doug?
I could really care less. I would hope maybe it's Llewellyn's Pub.
But Hot Shots, they sponsor Rick Hummel.
Either one of the two would make perfect sense to me.
Thursbin, huh?
Thursbin. Maybe it's at Gateway Buick GMC at I-270 McDonald Boulevard or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com.
Or at Ryan Kelly's world headquarters.
Could be. Gateway Buick GMC, mm-hmm. Doug. Get your car taken care of with 38 service bays. You're not going to be waiting very long. Online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. You'll find them at I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. It's Gateway Buick GMC. They have partnered with St. Jude's Research Hospital again this year. St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, to donate the car in the driveway as part of their Dream Home giveaway campaign. Tickets are now on sale, and if you purchase by August 15th, not only are you eligible to win the home, but you are also eligible to win the car in the driveway, a 2016 Gateway Buick GMC Buick Verano. Gateway Buick GMC understands the importance of defeating childhood cancer and is willing to donate this car in hopes that you and your loved ones will purchase a ticket to give to such a great cause. It's Gateway Buick GMC. So, yesterday, Cal May was covering the game, as he is wont to do, and he had this question of Mike Matheny. It's Fun with Audio, presented by Maggie O'Brien.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Carlos with a four-game hitting streak.
I was not aware of that.
Okay.
And the best part is that was that as well, and it wasn't edited. The was talking about Carlos Martinez has a four-game hitting streak, and Matheny was not impressed.
Mm. He's hitting 290 now. I guess if they
that's the focus.
I guess if they were to play a one-game playoff in the wild card, that's who you'd want on the mound.
As of today.
No.
But they're not. I don't think that's happening, right, today?
Well, no. It was just kind of a hypothetical I threw out there just for fun.
Doug, Barnhart Brawler is officially as big of an attention whore as Timberfake. Thanks. That's from JC in South Webster.
Yeah, I think that may be true. Any progress in lining up a date for this boxing match?
There's all kinds of things going on with it. I mean, there's all kinds of things.
Like
I
what?
Guess. Well, I know we have Rick Hummel coming up, and it's probably going to take me about 45 minutes to explain it.
Oh, give us a capsule version.
Tony Timberfake, I guess, left Timberfake.
Oh, no.
And Timberfake wants to fight her new boyfriend.
She's already got another boyfriend.
Ah!
Well, I feel sorry
and
for him.
I guess he works for a cable company. He lays cable. And so Timberfake calls him the cable guy. And then this guy calls Timberfake out for not having a job. So I guess they're going to get in the squared circle. But Timberfake says he'll fight anybody. He doesn't care. And then Tony Timberfake seems like whoever wins gets her.
What? Oh, wow. That is a nice prize.
So this is a very mature approach to the problem.
What's what you did in sixth grade? I don't know why we would not want to do it now. So there's a chance that he's going to fight the cable guy instead of the Barnhart Brawler.
For the hand of the fair maiden.
That's correct. That sounds like a very attractive thing that you could easily sell.
And so now, by a handful of people on the fan pin, I have been accused of being behind this over the weekend to try and pump up the fight.
You were in Las Vegas. Dealing with other station matters that you didn't want.
Yes, I had to deal with some other things. And just being real blunt with the audience, we would maybe make, you know, like 3% of our operating budget would be made on this fight. So it really isn't that big of a deal. I don't really care. It's probably going to fall into the category of the juice not being worth the squeeze because of all the dip crappery going on. But if it's something the audience wants and I don't have to do much outside of, say, here's where it's going to be and arrange the venue will be happy because I'll make a bunch of money, then I'll be happy to do it. But if there's any risk or more headache than necessary, then these two can get together in an alley somewhere by DeBerg and slap fight. You know,
it's curious to me that the girl involved, what's her name?
Tony Timberfake.
Tony Timberfake.
Well, she used to be, but now she's Tony Cable Guy.
Mm. until unless Timberfake wins, then she's back to being Tony Timberfake. That's the part I find hard to understand.
Well, I feel sorry for Timberfake because he was really smitten. He really fell hard for her.
And so she's kind of making fun of him for being so in love with her on the fan page.
Oh, that's not nice. I got Timberfake's back. That's my boy. I'm with him.
This makes him a dangerous man, a dangerous man.
He had heavy hands anyway.
Oh, he did.
And he has the strap.
Instead of boxing, you would feel like in this scenario, a wrestling match would do justice. You could have the other guy, the cable guy, come out with cable cords and jorts in his uniform, and then, you know, Timberfake could come out with a bag of cocaine like Goldust did in the early 2000s with sand.
Goldust came out with cocaine.
Oh, sand. I mean, you could, you know, mix and match. But I think a wrestling match instead of a boxing match would be a lot better for those two.
I'd rather see a boxing match because we've already established the fine tradition of Inside STL and the Sweet Science.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I'm a traditionalist.
Timberfake's going to box angry. Oh, well, you don't want to get his Irish up.
So the Barnhart Brawler is out?
Barnhart Brawler says he's still willing to fight Timberfake as long as he hasn't done any drugs in 24 hours.
Well, how large a fellow is this cable gentleman?
I don't know him.
Well, we don't know him, and we have no connection to the cable gentleman, so to get him to fight, it won't happen.
I thought you set it all up.
Huh?
Yeah. Now, I had a cable guy out to my house a month ago, and he was a pretty big guy. I hope it's not the same one.
You told me you gave him a massage when
he
was done.
No, he looked just like Brandon Moss. I mean, he looked like Brandon Moss's twin brother. And I don't think Timberfake would want to tangle with Brandon Moss.
Did you say, hey, Mossy, why are you here with the cable in my house?
Yeah, I thought they paid you better than that.
Big Al, Plowsy, you got cocaine. Thanks, it's from Big Al. Guys, does Tony just bang everyone in Timberfake's trailer park? Thanks, it's from the Kaskaskia River Monster.
What do the listeners want? Do they want to see Timberfake?
Well, I put that on a poll, and I think it was something like 75% voted for the cable guy.
Really? I thought, but the Barnhart Brawler's one of ours. I thought people want to see him.
But the stakes are higher now. Love is involved. Hello.
And the hand of the fair maiden.
Right. She's there in one corner, and these two storming combatants are in two other corners. I mean, that's just
I think she should be seated in heaven. I think she should be seated on a throne above the venue. The winner gets this lovely lady's hand.
Yeah.
Doug, on our car ID, it just said Deborah Messing was on line two. The hell? I didn't know we had her booked. I knew we had Rick Hummel, but I didn't know we had Deborah Messing.
Well, yeah, I'm sure we're big in Hollywood.
It's time for our Cardinal Report of the Day, and it's presented by Hot Shots with Rick Hummel.
This Cardinal Report is brought to you by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Bring your Cardinals ticket stub to any of the 12 area Hot Shots locations the day after a home victory and get 25% off any menu item.
The big man will score!
Plus, if you swipe your Hot Shots MVP card, you'll be entered in their first pitch sweepstakes for a chance to throw out the first pitch at an upcoming Cardinals game.
That's a Sea Monster production. You don't even need to ask. You know it's a Sea Monster production. And joining us right now, presented by Hot Shots, Rick Hummel with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Commissioner, good morning.
Hi, boys. How are you?
Congratulations on 45 years at the St. Louis Post Dispatch.
Thank you.
45 years, Doug.
You're probably past your probation period by now.
Pretty good, Doug.
Thank you.
I clipped that off. Doug's having a huge morning. Rick Hummel with us here on the program. Cardinals with some momentum going into yesterday against the Pirates. And with Carlos Martinez on the mound, like their chances to make it four in a row, but unfortunately shut down by another pitcher who hasn't necessarily had a great year, and that's what happened to the Cardinals as they lose it 4-2 to the Pirates. That's been a bit of a problem here over the last week with some pitchers who have been shaky and the Cardinals not able to capitalize on another great Carlos Martinez outing.
Yeah, John Neese has been pretty good against the Cardinals in the past, but not this year. He's all right. I mean, Gregory Polanco has hurt the Cardinals before, especially in that corner of the ballpark. That's the second home run he sneaked down the left field line against them this year. And that's just one of those games you lose, I think. Pittsburgh played better, and I thought when this 10-game stretch with Pittsburgh and the Brewers began last Friday with the Brewers here, I thought the Cardinals should be able to win 7 out of 10. Well, they're 3-1 so far, so if they go 4-2 the rest of the way, that's 7 out of 10. That's about what you'd expect.
David Freese is having a nice season with Pittsburgh. I expect if anybody knew before the season you could pick up a third baseman and hit darn near 300, he would have gone earlier than, what, a week before the season started.
Yeah, good for him. He hasn't had that kind of average for a while. Really, never for a whole season. And he plays first base, too, now, which is a new part of his resume there. So he's going to be – he's extended his career by a couple, 3 years probably. What we've seen from him this year, I don't know. He really wouldn't fit into the Cardinals right now, I don't think, because they've got a veteran at third and they've got all kinds of guys at first. But he'll help Pittsburgh, and if Pittsburgh would happen to fall out of the race, he might help somebody else.
John Mozeliak was talking yesterday about Grichuk. They're content to just let him make the most of his at-bats, but he's trending upward at AAA after kind of a slow start. Is he a done deal that we won't see him until after the All-Star break?
Well, it kind of depends on Tommy Pham's recovery here. If his shoulder is hurt to the point where they need to put him on the disabled list, Grichuk will be up here in a heartbeat. So let's see how Pham does in the next day or two. If they can't play without him for, they got to have 25 guys on their roster they can play. And if he can't play for, let's say, the rest of the week, they'll disable him.
It's kind of weird because he was a scratch right before game time. Mike Matheny saying Pham came and said, my shoulder's not good. But apparently he checked out, they called it stiffness, but apparently his shoulder checked out okay with the team doctors.
Yeah, the only concern they have is that Pham has been hurt a lot in his career. That's not a good trend if you want to stay in the big leagues and want to be a contender for a regular position. He's been pretty good since he's been up here, not great. He had a couple home runs in Seattle. He's been all right. They had one off the top of the wall the other day on Sunday there, but he's going to have to stay healthy to stay around.
Is Grichuk having a big time down in Memphis? Is he hitting the ball really well?
I guess so. He's got five home runs, and he hadn't struck out as much. Of course, you shouldn't expect him not to strike out as much in AAA as in the big leagues. And he should hit home runs there, too. But I would expect to see him after the break. And like we said, if Pham's not ready to go in the next day or two, he'll be here by the end of the week.
What do you think the Cardinals do with Trevor Rosenthal, who I think is still a good pitcher, can be a good pitcher again. Right now he's kind of lost. Had a couple of appearances that looked like they were steps forward, and his last one wasn't very good at all.
Well, looking back at Sunday, it was hard for anybody to pitch in that slop there. Either the ball was wet or the mound had all kinds of goop on there. So I'm going to kind of throw that one out a little bit because nobody from either side did much in the way of pitching that day. I'd use them just the way they've been using. Pitched in the seventh inning of that game when they were comfortably ahead. So I'd do that again. He won't see the ninth for a while. And a guy you will see, maybe we'll see the ninth once in a while, is Broxton. He's been their best reliever for the last month.
Yeah, O got a couple of saves, but they weren't exactly dominant performances, were they?
The one was good on Saturday. Sundays was a little, came with a 5-run lead. It ended up being a 1-run lead. So, yeah, that was a little shaky.
And they'll miss Segrist, too, right? He could be out for a while.
Well, they're hoping he's back next Friday when he could come off the DL, but nobody really knows about that. You don't know how strong he's going to be or if he's even healthy enough to pitch then. But, yeah, this is a rough time not to have him against a team with some left-handed firepower like the Pirates have. And I don't know. You hope next Friday, but as you point out, you don't assume anything there.
It's a weird thing with him, too, for those that don't know. He's got mono. And he told me, like, a couple of days before they DL'd him, that it was allergies. They just didn't know what he was going through. And he was trying to pitch through it, and some days he would feel totally weak, and other days he'd feel a little bit better, but something was going on.
He might be the most vital member of that bullpen because he's a left-handed pitcher who can get right-handed hitters out and led the league in appearances, led majors in appearances last year at 81. So that's a key guy not to have. Miami, it comes in after the break, and they've got some left-handed firepower too. So for his sake, you hope he's better. And then for their team's sake, he's got to be back as quick as they can get him back because their bullpen is kind of lifting right now.
I've always been a guy that thought Tui Valala is someone that the Cardinals can use eventually. And, you know, he's a guy people don't realize. He was an infielder. They recently converted him to pitcher. He throws 100 miles an hour. I know he's trying to work on the cutter. But at Triple, I know he's an all-star, but his ERA was 5. What was going on with Tui?
He said he had a real bad game in Las Vegas. I guess he allowed a whole potload of runs there, which shot his ERA up. In June, he'd pitch very well. And I thought it was good that Mike Matheny got him out there yesterday after that terrible ninth inning he had on Sunday. So he's got a little bit more to play with now. Matheny liked what he saw, and Toivola liked what he saw of himself, too. So I think he can now use him in spots that have some leverage to him.
It would seem like the Cardinals might need another powerful arm there in the bullpen. Would you see any kind of move coming where they might try to strengthen themselves in that area?
Oh, I'm sure they will try to strengthen themselves. Try to strengthen themselves there. It's a little early yet. It's July 5th, and the trading deadline is the 31st, August 1st. That, and it's August 1st, I think, now. So there'll be all kinds of possibilities, and more so as teams maybe fall out of the race between now and the trade deadline. There's a lot of teams still in contention for a wild card or divisional leads right now. But, yeah, they'll have to bring in somebody. I think they would have brought in somebody if the bullpen had been perfect, just to have another arm out there. Now, the other arm could be Alex Reyes if they don't get what they like in the trade market, and that wouldn't be bad either, assuming he's going to be a little bit more pitch efficient. He's had quite a few high-pitch games in his starts down there, and they might wait until he's a little bit more efficient before they would bring him up. But he'll be here by September 1st for sure.
You know, the Cardinals haven't really been able to get over the hump. I think their high water mark was 7 games over .500, if memory serves. And I think most people think, yeah, they could use some additional things. Outside of the bullpen, where do you see the major needs for this ball club?
Well, unless you get a crackerjack starter. I mean, the five starters are the ones who started every game. And they're one of the few teams, if not the only team in the majors, that have the same five guys start every, only five start games this year. I guess you could have always improve your bench a little bit. Maybe another right-handed hitter off the bench. I don't know. That's the bullpen is probably the best way to go about that, because you can never really have too many relievers the way managers employ them these days, one inning at a time, maybe even partial innings at a time. So I think that's the one spot. Nothing else really jumps out and slaps you in the face and says they got to get that kind of player. I think it's got to be a reliever.
Another strong start from Carlos Martinez yesterday. Is he the best they've got now?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. But they have, in Martinez, Waka, and Wainwright, three guys who put together several good starts in a row. And Jaime's had a couple good starts in a row now. And then Leake has been pretty good, too. So this is the best, probably, shall we say, three-week stretch the rotation's had all year. So I think they're fine there. They don't have five aces, but they got Martinez, I think, qualifies in that ace category now.
Rick Hummel, presented by Hot Shots. He is with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Commish, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, sir.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
See
you.
Rick Hummel with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, presented by Hot Shots. And we will be doing a live-to-tape broadcast, Doug, on Thursday, July 28th. Now, the Cat, you are on the road with those Cardinals. They're going to fight very hard in Miami.
Probably get a spirit win at least.
At least one, you would think. And, boy, you want to talk about a ballpark with atmosphere. Oh.
Yeah. Classy is what it is.
Well, you get 8,000, 9,000 people in there, and the building is up for grabs.
Snatch grabs.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about going down for that trip, actually.
Come on down.
Well, you guys stay at the same hotel we stay when we go down there.
I can't even remember which one.
It's in downtown? Anyway, but we will be taping the show in front of a live studio audience at Hot Shots, and it's the Hot Shots on Manchester. Is that correct there? The Sea Monster? Yep. I know Jennings is going to be there, which means we're going to have a very special live edition of Foot Fetish Friday, and it will be the show that airs the next morning on July 29th.
All right.
So you might hate having to deal with our audience,
right,
but you don't have to get up on Friday, because the show will be live to tape for Friday morning's edition of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It is Thursday at 6:30 ballpark at Hot Shots on Manchester. Me, you, Jennings, and Charlie live on the scene. Plow Pirate, the people at Hot Shots want to make sure you will be there as well.
I will be there, Timmy.
I mean, this
you might have to explain this to Doug, because Doug is like, now wait a minute. Now, we're going to have to do a show at night and then the next morning, too?
No. Just one show, but two shows on Thursday, but no shows on Friday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But the listeners will be able to go.
Right. So you'll probably get a chance to meet Tony Doe again.
You think they'll put fries out?
I could see Jay Boyd putting fries out
for us. Oh, wow. Well, that's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to ask anyone if they need a ride to the ballpark. Just get some.
What would fries. Be? I really want this foot fetish Friday to be one for the ages. What do you think we can offer in order to make sure that we have a choice clientele for Jay to suckle upon?
How about a winner's prize of $20,000?
Okay, I'll go to the board with that.
All right. How about something crappy that's lying around the studio?
Like a Fox Sports robot?
Something like that.
Or some Lysol wipes.
Old T-shirt we got lying around.
Maybe some of this corn out here. It should be harvest time by July 28th.
It'll be close, yeah.
Doug, the two teams the Cardinals are chasing and most likely will be chasing, if I had to guess, for the remainder of the season for the wild card spot, both are on a tear, the Dodgers and the Mets. The Dodgers, despite the Clayton Kershaw DL, have won five in a row, and the Mets have won five in a row. Cardinals are two back of the Mets. The Mets are a game and a half back of the Dodgers.
I would worry more about the Mets than the Dodgers. Mets have got that pitching. The Dodgers, you take Kershaw out of the Dodgers mix, and they're okay. But the Mets have got the starting pitching that can't be denied.
You know, nobody has a better run differential of all the wild card teams than the Cardinals.
Plus 80.
That's right.
I don't know if you guys understand run differential and how it's figured. It's basically how many runs you score minus how many runs you allow. And you do the math, and you get what I call run differential.
How do the Pirates factor in? I don't understand. If you're saying the Pirates scored this many runs, how does it?
Pirates are a minus -3.
I understand.
Based on the calculations I've done.
And that's why the Cardinals are better with their run differential.
Yeah, that's why the Cardinals are a game and a half better than the Pirates. We're plus +80, they're minus -3. That equals a game and a half.
This is like the same formula as earned run average.
Yeah, don't even try. Right. Don't even try to figure it out. I just let it go.
Whip.
Go on, let it be. Well, so what sort of prize package are you thinking, Tim?
Jennings just texted me and said he's willing to offer up golf for four at Normandy.
Well, but I don't know that. I mean, that's a great prize. I don't know that that's going to get a bunch of girls out there.
They make it a $100 gift card to Bed Bath & Beyond.
I
love that.
I say a check for $20,000.
Now, how do we get that kind
of... Well, you don't pay Doug for 2 years.
It would be right at 2 years, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's not, that number's not supposed to be public, sorry, but right? We've just decided to start disclosing salaries in sports talk radio as of late. You know Tony Doe will be there with his picture of Tony Danza. Mm-hmm. I could see Cucky being there. He wears a half shirt and jean shorts, cut-off jean shorts.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
I think girls like concert tickets, that kind of thing.
They like money.
Do they?
So I don't know, like, if I put up a grand...
Oh, you're going to get the finest feet in the Midwest for a grand.
I'll put my feet in there.
Hey, you put a grand in there.
Yeah, I'll try.
I'm down.
Would you let,
I overpaid. Well, I'll back off a little.
Would you let Jay suckle for 5 seconds, one toe for $1,000?
Absolutely.
Oh.
I think the listeners would love to
see
that.
I care if he does with my toe. Absolutely. You wouldn't?
I'm not sure. Maybe. Oh,
I don't know on that. I have to tell you.
$1,000?
Is $1,000 going to change your life?
Well, you might be scarred
for life by having the vision of Jay suckling your toe. That's how I look at it.
I'd take it a step further. Any condiment Jay would want, he could lather up to my ankle and go to town for $1,000.
But you're just thinking how much Tide stick that would buy.
I am in need of some Tide stick.
Well, either way, it's going to be very hot at Hot Shots on Thursday the 28th.
Seems like you're willing to overpay there.
Yeah, I clearly was off there. Gentile negotiating.
You would have a moment if you gave Doug $1,000 and Junior was willing to suckle his toe. You would have a moment in show history.
I don't think there's any question. I would do it. He wouldn't do it. What's in it for him?
Jennings just said I might pay Jordan $1,000 to touch her feet again. Boy, there's a lot of money being exchanged for this
really
thing.
Are. Yeah, we got some high rollers. We run a lot of money for very little. I would think for $500 you'd get some of the finest feet in the land.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just give him this clock or an extension cord.
Regift something that's come our way.
Big Al has offered to put up an arm wrestling exhibition at Hot Shots on the 28th.
What a treat that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Iggy just texted me. He said he will find some broads if I would like.
Well, he's good at that, though, isn't he?
He texted me over the 4th of July weekend that four lesbians moved into the apartment across from his patio. He sat outside last night, drank a beer, and watched them make out in their kitchen. Said two are hot, two are butch. It's the report from McGee's apartment.
I do miss his tales from hedonism. I do miss those.
I don't think he's been there in years.
No, he used to go every year.
I know.
Part of the marketing thing. Then I guess they found out he didn't really market much of anything, and they took it away from him.
Guys, should we start the fundraising to get Doug's foot suckled? First steps. Thanks. That's from the 314.
I mean, if this was something you would be interested in, I guarantee, even if Junior didn't want to suckle Doug's toe, if you offered $1,000 to Doug, a listener would do it for free, I guarantee.
Oh.
Don't you think a listener would volunteer to do that?
Hell no.
Guys, if it's $1,000 on the line, Mrs. Ray King will be forced to be entered. Thank you. That's from Ray King.
Sure.
I didn't know Ray King was married.
No. Oh, they'll come out of the woodwork for this. You'll have people lined up out there in Hot Shots a block away with the one shoe off.
Yeah, you did offer too high.
Okay, it's Gentile negotiating. What do you mean to do? Step in. What's the move?
I was telling you, there's a Doug Vaughn Cooley over there and a broom that Doug once used to sweep up a mess.
Right. Those are the prize packages.
Yeah.
Well, see, I don't know how well you do with that.
It's a Doug Vaughn prize pack, a Cooley and a broom that he once used.
I just don't see that that's going to bring in a lot of gals. I could be wrong.
I'm telling you, if you want a moment, this Doug Toe thing. Doug, you get paid?
What's in it for Jay?
I don't think Jay has to be part if he doesn't want to. I guarantee a listener would do it. A chance for one of your lemmings?
What's in it for them?
I think it's obvious.
My big toe.
It could be a pinky toe. It's up to you.
Yeah, it's your call, I think, in the contract.
As, why don't you do a poll on that? Would a listener suckle Doug's toe with no compensation?
Yeah, there's a good poll.
I think it'd be a yes.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I would suck Doug's toes and anything else. That's from Timmy the Tickler.
No. See what you got started there, Jim?
Why did you say, Jim?
Because I'm disappointed in you.
Well, I'm trying to get you $1,000.
No, you're not.
In fact, I think you should kick some over my way.
No, it won't.
What, 20% standard?
70.
Oh, yep. That's not standard because this stuff is not done anywhere else.
There's been toe-sucking arrangements before, and it's standard for the guy who came up with the concept to get 70%.
I think 101 did something like this with Bob Stelton in 2011.
I'll cite you the precedents once I look into my legal
mumbo-jumbo.
Doug, any way you can set me up with that delectable Corey Stark? Thanks. Yeah, who's Corey Stark?
He's an anchor at Channel 4.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Thanks for watching.
Yeah. I got to bring you your coworkers.
Yeah, I known that, I wouldn't have read it. Yeah. We oftentimes get a lot of names I recognize.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid it being awkward for you or Charlie, I fade those. I volunteer as a tribute. Thank you. That's from Rory Pepperpaws.
As a tribute to Doug? Is that what we're talking about?
Read what's in there.
He volunteers to pay the $1,000.
No, Doug, I'll suck the toenails right off your hooves. It's in the ballroom bottom feeder.
I do not have hooves.
I am not married. I have a partner. Her name is Betty Dangles. Thanks, Ray King. Would you like Betty Dangles to...
No, sir, no.
So you're going to be picky with this whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Tell the listeners about Bertarelli Cutlery, if you would be so kind.
Well, when you think Bertarelli Cutlery, you think chop, chop, cheeky. That's their phrase. They say, hey, chop, chop, cheeky. If you are looking to chop things up, if you need knives, if you need new knives, if you've got your own knives and they just need sharpening, Bertarelli Cutlery is a place you go to learn how to chop, chop, cheeky appropriately. All your favorite kitchen tools, gadgets, and gizmos from the names you love and trust. They have quality products at quality prices. Wide array of sharpening solutions for the professional kitchen. They sharpen and service knives, slicer blades, mixers, and much, much more. They service all major brands of food prep equipment. Don't just throw away something that's broken. Don't just say, hey, this is not working. This is not chopping the way I wanted it. Don't throw it away. Don't discard it. Don't get rid of it. Take it to Bertarelli. They can fix it. No business is too big or too small for their family service. Highest quality cutting boards on the market. Maybe you don't like the way your cutting board is performing.
I could use a new one.
Yeah. Well, you ought to stroll on into Bertarelli and say, hey, you got any cutting boards here? And they'll say, yes, we do. And they'll show you right where it is in their fabulous retail section of the store right down there on Marconi on the Hill. So go visit the Hill and check out their showroom. And, hey, if you mention us, you receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. That's right. You heard it. $5 in-store purchase. You get a free knife sharpening at Bertarelli Cutlery. Chop, chop, cheeky.
There it is. Bertarelli Cutlery, sponsor of the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. The Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour is fast approaching. The email of the day prize, a free club fitting from Golfsmith, the prize for our email of the day. Send yours in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com live. The Gateway Buick GMC Studios.